Africa, we salute ya. A new state of mind, I introduce ya. Close your eyes and visualize the rise of a new paradigm. Solar powered skyscrapers.
Welcome to the Africa Must Unite podcast, a podcast dedicated to inspiring African people worldwide to rise up, organize, and struggle for Pan-Africanism, a unified, liberated, socialist Africa, the only permanent solution to the exploitation and oppression of African people, no matter where they happen to be born or happen to live in the world. Now please, welcome the host of Africa Must Unite.
Africa's future is now, so get ready.
Revolutionary and Pan-African greetings. This is the Africa Must Unite podcast.
Greetings. This is Brother Melvin from the Pan-African Revolutionary Socialist Party. Happy to be joining you all with our 63rd installment of our podcast, where we'll be focusing today on our theme, Global African Youth Caught in the Snares of Capitalism, but specifically looking at youth and unemployment.
Beautiful. Yes, we got to look at our youth, don't we, Melvin? They are really catching it right now all over the African world. But as of usual, we're going to start with our important dates in the month of March.
Yeah, let's look at the month of March. Thank you, Mama D. Look at March 2nd is Angola Women's Day. March 2nd represents Angolan Women's Day. If we look at March 6th, we recognize that Ghana gained its political independence from British colonialism in 1957. On March 7th, Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. led the Selma to Montgomery March in 1965. March 8th, we recognize Sister Revolutionary Harriet Tubman as she was born in 1820, as it is indicated, March 8th, 1820. It also, we recognize on March 8th, International Women's Day.
Yes,
so we got to recognize. March is Women's History Month, so we know we have some incredible African women who have made incredible contributions for all of us. So looking at March 10th, again, Harriet Tubman, organizer of the Underground Railroad, transitioned, passed away in 1913. Moving on to March 16th, the Organization of Mozambique Women was formed in 1973. On March 19th, France was defeated by the National Liberation Front of Algeria in 1962 after 8 years of war and over 1 million Africans killed. On March 21st, there is the recognition of Sharpeville Massacre. South African police gunned down peaceful demonstrators against past laws in 1960. March 26th, Ahmed Sekou Touré died. That was in 1984. And then on March 27th, we recognize great Pan-Africanist Shirley Graham Du Bois, author and Pan-Africanist. She also transitioned in 1977. Yeah, so those are some incredible days to remember about March and some of the impactful women, certainly, that we have to take time to recognize this month, but all year round as well when we talk about revolutionary struggle and the role that women have played and continue to play in moving forward.
And that's true. And so many cases, I can speak of myself, for example, you know, so many sisters took a backseat role, you know, that's not happening so much anymore, but, you know, profound and smart. And I'm not just talking about me, Melvin, but, you know, intelligent and educated and all, but they would push the their partner, their male partner forward. And that was that, you know, we had to learn, you know, that we can be side by side and make joint contributions to the African Revolution. We don't have to take a step backwards. We take a step forward and together help yes. our people to move forward. So that was a learning experience for me personally.
Yes, ma'am.
But we want to go on because, as Melvin said, all this year, this calendar year, we're looking at our youth because they are definitely caught up in this whole global capitalist world. So our theme is Global African Youth Caught in the Snares of Capitalism, as Melvin said, and with our particular focus on unemployment in terms of youth. So I'm going to read what we wrote in our calendar for the month of March concerning unemployment. Africa is the home to the world's youngest population with a median age of 19.7 years. 2021 United Nations report indicated that youth account for 60% of all of Africa's joblessness. Nearly 10 to 12 million African youth enter the workforce each year, while only 3 million jobs are created, leaving vast youth unemployed. Whether we are talking about jobs in the informal sector or the wage-earning formal sector, or we are considering how to create opportunities in agriculture, industrialization, or telecommunications and other digital services, we have to address the impact of settler colonialism and neocolonialism in Africa. The employment conditions that exist in Africa are part and parcel to a system of exploitation that allows for the means of production to be controlled by a foreign ruling class and their puppets at home. Similarly, in Haiti, foreign intervention and Haiti's consequential debt burden, its political instability and puppet leadership, along with natural disasters, have contributed to the high unemployment rate of youth between the ages of 15 and 24 years of age, and it's worsening day by day. It is a cycle of oppression born out of the evils of capitalism's imperialism's primary function, which is to scour the world for the cheapest labor force and the natural resources to exploit. The only permanent solution to address the economic exploitation of the African world is the total unification and liberation of Africa under a socialist economic structure. Regardless of where the African lives throughout the globe, her liberation will be ensured and her respect will be restored because of the power created from the wealth generated from the control of the richest continent with the most sought after natural resources in the world, and that's Africa.
Yes, absolutely.
Yes, and so, you know, to get started, we want to really make the connection between the nature of capitalism and youth unemployment. So, you know, the first thing to do in doing that is to review historical materialism. Now, that's a big term, but all it means is the explanation, explaining, that's what we're going to do, how societies develop. So when you study historical materialism, you find out how we were able to develop as human societies. So, you know, for humans, we start with this. For humans to live and develop, they must produce what they need to survive, because these things are not provided ready-made. We can't go to something, you know, and pick up a carrot or something. We have to make these things possible in order to live. We have to build shelters in order to live. And this production process is called an economic system. And so an economic system is primary in the lives of human beings because it provides the goods and services which ensures our survival. And because it's primary, it shapes all of our ideas and institutions, political and social, including education, everything else. So it's if it's a fair economic system, for example, since it's primary, it will give birth to fair ideas and institutions. If it's an unfair economic system, it will give birth to unfair ideas and institutions, shaping people to be arrogant, narcissistic, racist, and sexist. Capitalism then, in all of its manifestations, whether it's slavery, colonialism, settler colonialism, neocolonialism, in all of these manifestations, capitalism is an unfair economic system. It is the primary enemy of all African, poor, and working class people. And Seka Ture, I met Seka Ture, taught us this next thing I'll say, and it's in Africa on the Move, his classic work. He teaches us that capitalism is an economic system in which the means of production, for example, the industries, equipment, tools, machines, mineral resources, technologies, everything that we're using right now in terms of who's in control of social media, you know all about that, Melvin, in terms of, you know, all of these major production things that we rely on are owned and controlled by a few people, the ruling class, the capitalist class in this instance, who live off of the exploitation of the workers for the maximization of capitalist profit. They own but do not work. The workers work but do not own. This unfairness in the very nature of the capitalist economic system spawns a multitude of unfair institutions, political and social systems, I'm sorry, and ideas. For example, that people who are born a certain color are innately inferior, national oppression, racism, and that one gender is innately inferior to another, gender oppression, sexism. And when you talk about mental health, you know, all the kinds of things that our people in cities and countries throughout the African world, all that they witnessed, they don't deserve the kind of mental health treatment that others deserve when something happens around them. You know, we don't get that kind of thing. So, you know, when we look then at African youth unemployment throughout the world, we have to always be mindful that the principal cause is global capitalism. So we can patch up things. We can say, okay, let's get a few more jobs here under the capitalist system, a few more jobs here. But the whole thing is rotten. And so it's going to spawn African youth unemployment because they're seen as less than. They're going to be the last hired and the first fired. They're going to be looked at as others. So we know all about that. And so we say, you know, the relationship between capitalism and the vast unemployment of youth today, we can just look at or spotlight the U.S., for example. We don't say America. We say it's the United States. It's a lot of Americas. It's North America, South America, Latin America. They can't claim, you know, all of America. So it's the United States, or we say the United Snakes. So we're going to look at that, you know, in terms of what's going on with unemployment without you. And so we say the presence of capitalism in whatever form negatively affects all Africans because of their nationality, racism leading to poor housing, poor education, and vast unemployment. And we remember Malcolm X when he taught us that when you live in a poor neighborhood, you live in an area where you have to have poor schools. When you have poor schools, you get a poor education. With a poor education, you can only work on a poor paying job or you are unemployed. Either means that you, again, live in a poor neighborhood. So it's a vicious cycle. That's what Malcolm taught us. So in addition to that, you know, because the education is so poor and people are struggling, parents and all throughout Africa, or what the global African world, many are not in school. And many in the U.S. drop out of school. And jobs available for these unskilled dropouts, like working at McDonald's, are undesirable. And so, Melvin, you'll talk about this later. So selling drugs becomes one way to make mm-hmm. money. Another is stealing cars and selling their part. You know, so you're doing anything in order to deal with a survival issue, you know. I just want to mention this last thing because I know you're coming on, Melvin, but a few of our youth are always handpicked to be spokespeople for capitalism. They are trained to be puppets, just like those who may be handpicked at home in Africa. And so they may receive good education. They may be plucked out and up. But, you know, the training is for them to then keep us kind of quiet and also to spill or, you know, what did you say, to give the viewpoint of the capitalist class. And one of the things that we've seen lately is this whole business of JROTC being required in high schools. So they are forced to enroll. They can't reject it. I'm talking about in the U.S. in some of our high schools. And you look at North Carolina and other Virginia, other places. They are forced to take a credit or credits in JR Junior ROTC. And that's just to train them up, you know, so they get ready to take on some kind of leadership role in regard to military and all of that and on behalf of the capitalist class. And during the recent African U.S. summit, you know, it was touted that what the U.S. will do for Africa is institute a leadership training program that will be offered to a handful of African youth at home. All that is just training ground for them to be puppets. And that's only a few. That's going to be a tiny percent of us, with the rest of our youth being viewed as less than because of the color of their skin and dangerous and violent because of decades of stereotypes and exploitation and oppression. These rest of this youth, the bulk of the youth, African youth throughout the U.S. and throughout the world, we can say, capitalists and their handmaidens, the police, the judges, the entire injustice system, determined that they must be dealt with. And too often, how they're dealt with is by imprisonment or death. And just a last little thing, today we see, you know, what the future is promising to be for our African youth based on the capitalist motion. And so we know all about Cop City in Georgia, this military training ground that's supposed to be training ground for all police forces throughout the U.S. In other words, it will be the domestic version of AFRICOM, the U.S. Africa Command. You know, that goes all the way through Africa, supporting puppet regimes in order to exploit our natural resources and all of that. So what you're setting up is this domestic kind of African reality, a training ground, getting the police ready for youth protests or youth rebellion or youth whatever. So, you know, it's a dismal look unless we begin to talk about changes. And I know, Melvin, you're going to talk about just some overall statistics and regarding the global Africa.
Yeah, Mama D, I think you certainly, you know, set the stage in terms of talking about the why. How do we even get to the point where we are now in terms of the African, you know, globally, the condition of the African youth specifically globally. And I just kind of wanted to look at some of the material reality and some of the statistics that sort of back up the information that you share with us in terms of, you know, capitalism being the primary enemy of all of us. And I want to start at home, just real briefly, you know, because as mentioned in the piece that you read, you know, Africa is the home of the largest youth population, and that population continues to grow. And we look at spaces like in the East, in Nairobi, Kenya, where 70% of youth are experiencing unemployment. If we go down to the South, in South Africa, youth in between the ages of 15, 20 to 24, we see that almost 50% of those youth are unemployed. And then this is a real important point, Mama D, because I think it's imperative that we highlight the condition of the African woman and the female, because she's always suffering from this triple oppression, the race, class, and gender reality, right? So not only is she suffering as an African, she's also suffering as a, you know, a poor African, but she also suffers because she's a woman, because she is female. And we see the struggle in places like Lagos, Nigeria, in Johannesburg, South Africa, and places all over. And I'm not just saying this in Africa, but this happens all over the globe. But in these spaces specifically, the African woman is being asked to engage in sexual acts in exchange for employment opportunities, just for the opportunity for employment. So not only is she suffering because, like, again, being poor and African, now even internally, when there are opportunities that are offered, you know, they want her to exchange, you know, those opportunities for sex acts. And so it's important that we always keep that at the forefront, you know, that the African woman is catching the most hell on the planet Earth, if we're being honest. Then we can look at Latin America, and we can see that African descendants make up 30% of African to Latin America's population, yet they account for over 50% of all of those that are unemployed. If we look at Brazil, where most Africans are coming over from the Infocani, from the transatlantic slave trade, we know more Africans landed in Brazil than any other place. There's 50% of unemployment, 50% of 80 million unemployment, which is super dire. And then we can go even in the U.S., as you talked about earlier, Africans under the age of 21, unemployment reached, and this is like coming right out of COVID, reached a high of nearly 50%. So even though African youth in America are twice as likely to experience unemployment than the European, their European counterparts here in the U.S. And like you were kind of talking about some of these pieces in terms of the impact of unemployment, Mama D, earlier. Like, what do our youth, what are the behaviors that they engage in when they don't have, you know, sustainability in the employment? What do they do? So, you know, you talked about like drug use, drug sale. What we understand is sometimes could be self-medication. You already talked about briefly some of the mental health needs of poor people. Just being African throughout the world, there's going to be these struggles because there's this, you know, there this sort of unreasonable explanation of why the African male, female are suffering under these forms of oppression, generational oppression. And that does have an impact on the, you know, mental ability and capacity of many people who, you know, begin to fall victim to these oppressive states. And so what do? They begin to self-medicate. They engage in the use of drugs, right? So anything from regular marijuana to now what we see in Mama D, that's really popular now, is young people are using these pills, right? So the Percocets, the Xanax. And
the fentanyl.
That's exactly where I was going.
And selling them.
Really? Yeah.
Because of unemployment, right?
Yeah. Of economic desperation, yeah. You know, they engage in the sale of drugs as well. And we all understand that, you know, again, that's the impact of capitalism, right? Because if there were opportunities out there for them, then I'm certainly, you know, that would be able to mitigate, you know, the need for Africans and young people in general to be engaged in these types of activities. So that's unfortunate. That we see that. We also understand how violence occurs, you know, in these environments because of the conditions that they're in, with the high unemployment, scouring for resources, looking at illegal means to have resources to provide basic needs, basic physiological needs, Mama D, food, clothing, and shelter. You know, people aren't going to go hungry. They're going to do whatever they need to do to provide for themselves and for their family. But what happens in this drug trade is, you know, people scouring for limited resources. They see each other as competition. That's why we see here Africans in the U.S., 40% of all deaths between the ages of 15 and 24 are from homicides. And homicide being the leading cause of death of, African teenagers, and mostly attributed to gunfire. U.S.-born Africans, even though they use and sell drugs at similar rates to European counterparts, here's another, kicker, they are three times more likely to be arrested for drug-related offenses. So there's the criminal injustice system at play, targeting, African youth as well. So selling drugs, right? And we already kind of talked about that being a coming out of necessity, out of, looking for those resources, selling the weed, selling cocaine, the crack, fentanyl, all the pills, the Percocets, the Molly, all types of drugs. And, I'm, as an educator, Mama D, we're seeing this vape thing becoming a serious reality right now. They're targeting, they're marketing and targeting young people to use these vape devices now, where you can get these drugs in a liquid form that can be vaporized and smoked and taken in and out of public spaces and that kind of thing. So, in education, I find myself, regularly pulling these vape cartridges off of kids. And again, that have an impact on their ability to stay focused in class, to even come to school. And then sort of that cycle that Malcolm was talking about as well, you have substandard education, or because of truancy, you're not getting the academics that you need in order to graduate, that will provide for the opportunity for higher education, for that could provide for, sustainable living through employment. But all of that is part and parcel to a capitalist structure. We all understand that in order for capitalism to survive, there is a need for a permanent underclass, a permanent working class of people, right? And so then we get caught up in the snares. That's how young Africans here in the U.S., in Brazil, in Haiti, on the continent, are getting caught up in the snares. Like, real popular in Milwaukee, Mama D, we see this thing called the Honda Boys, right? Where the Kia Boys and the Honda Boys, where there's been this uptick in car theft. These are the behaviors that young people are engaging in when there's limited opportunities out there for them. So we see uptick in stealing cars, and engaging in those types of activities, so which also would lead to, high youth incarceration, right? 41% of youth right now, if we're looking at the U.S., are in some form of a juvenile correction, either waiting on trial or already being detained in some facility. All of that's unfortunate. Then we can even talk about, Mama D, the involvement in gang activity. Here nationally in the U.S., we see that. That's always been somewhat of a issue and a concern, but there's also been a spike in, gang activities here and throughout the continent as well, where, without those resources, we know that they join militant, what do we call those? What do you call those groups that on the continent, Mama D? Those military.
Yeah, those who born. Warrior groups. Go ahead. I'm sorry, Mel.
Are they warrior groups? Is that what they're called?
Well, they're working for one contingent or another who are puppets vying for power. So, they form groups in order to, engage in activities and claim terror. I hope I'm saying that right, but I know the word you're trying to come up with is just escaping me now, but it's definitely enlisting youth into fighting, you know, with different sectors on the continent. And the Congo is a good example of that going on. And not just male youth, but female youth too, who are being trapped into, you know, struggling with some of these different groups at home who are working for these people trying to vie for power. And it's all dealing with the resources that, you know, the imperialists want. So, you know, if they claim the area and they mine the resources and get them to the imperialists, that's all that's happening. So if the imperialists weren't there, then that would not be happening. But I the word escapes me too, Melvin, but it's definitely, you know, engaging youth in war activities at home, and they warn each other, like you said, in the U.S., you know.
Yeah, so the conflict zones, Mama D, at home, you know, 25% of children at home live in conflict zones, mm-hmm. right? Mm-hmm. In conflict zones being, the result of, you know, the conditions these puppets or the neo-colonialists have created, the conditions where, you know, people are trying to vie for those resources mm-hmm. and control of those at home, you know. Again, for the benefit of the very, very few, we have these conflict zones, and then youth they're often physically coerced into becoming child soldiers.
Yeah,
right?
That's the term.
Yeah, child soldiers. Yep. And even to your point, the African females are also recruited to become child soldiers. Mm-hmm. Again, unfortunately, are also sometimes forced into sexual slavery during these periods in this crisis as well of child soldiers. So again, Africans catch hell all over the world, but the African woman, the African female, catches the most hell. And it's important that we highlight that. It's important that we talk about, you know, what the solution is to the conditions. So I know that we can briefly go into some of the immediate and short-term solutions and then come out and talk about like what the permanent solutions are.
And thank you, Melvin. And just before the immediate and short-term solutions, something that we'll talk about later is this whole business of African youth and media, social media. We'll talk about that pretty soon. I forgot which month, but we're definitely going to be talking about that because the other thing, though, is that even though youth might be struggling for survival and getting into all kinds of trouble, you know, the other thing, though, is that capitalism pumps their whole way of life 24/7 on media. So our youth, you know, we talk about sound and smells and what we see, what we feel, all that is matter that impacts our consciousness. So these youth hearing all and seeing all these things that these other people have to live, you know, and these are the things that you should be aiming for. So, you know, these ways of the capitalists with all this money and with this lifestyle and how they live, that impacts them too. Even if they had food and shelter and all of that, it's just how they're being shaped by the capitalist propaganda and capitalist media that is creating a problem too for our youth. So I just wanted to say that too. And the other thing I wanted to say is that our youth too, you mentioned incarceration, and our youth are getting adult sentences. You could be 13 years old. What's the youngest that you've seen, Melvin? And you get thrown into a maximum security prison in the U.S. with an adult Can you believe it?
Yeah, that's how this structure is designed. Absolutely.
It doesn't care about our youth at all. So what are some immediate and short-term solutions? And the first thing I want to say is we have to struggle to be an example of the life that we want to bring into existence. We have to walk the walk and not just talk the talk. Our youth see us. They see us every day. Their parents, their friends. They see their teachers. They see everybody, and they learn from us. We have to be role models for them. And we can't say, okay, we're going to be humanist, collectivist, egalitarian once Africa is united and socialist. We'll never get there. We'll never get to a union of African socialist states if we don't begin to struggle ourselves individually and collectively to represent the society that we are struggling to bring into existence. So every day, daily, we should be watching ourselves and living up to our principles of humanism, collectivism, egalitarianism. That's the primary thing. Number two, we got to get involved with our youth in some kind of way. We decided, Melvin, didn't we, that we have to begin again our youth conferences that we had stopped a while ago, and we began doing other programs. We said, no, we have to come back to struggling with our youth in some kind of way and getting involved with them. And why? Number three, to politically educate them about who their enemy is. It's not each other. We're not our enemy, primary enemy. It's capitalism in all of its forms. We got to teach them that. And we got to teach them the permanent solution. And that is a unified socialist Africa. We have to organize our youth. Number four, to struggle against global capitalism. We can't just sit, as Malcolm said, and bleed peacefully. We have to organize our youth to struggle against global capitalism. And one of the other things, we have to mobilize our youth to demand living wage employment, to demand you employ me, you know, in some kind of way, a living wage employment for our youth to demand. So those are just some of the things, you know, that we can do immediately and short-term solutions.
Yeah, absolutely. And I'm glad you mentioned that piece around being involved with young people. And for us, even as an organization, you know, to shift our focus back to the youth, I think that was a point in time where we had, you know, even though we do our Watoto Yuhuru Shule, our Children's Freedom School, every other Sunday, I mean, you know, just as an example, and I think you were making that point about, you know, serving as an example, even in our personal walks, you know, and following principles of humanism, collectivism, and egalitarianism as an organization, like, where do we put our focus? Where is our energy placed? And I think the fact that, you know, we've collectively made the decision to push that emphasis back into our youth and developing that youth conference and engaging our young people again in terms of how do we educate, socialize them to understanding who they are, you know, in terms of identity, who their enemy is, and then what our solutions are, both immediate and then long-term and permanent solution, which we know, and I think we've reinforced that so many times throughout this podcast, that our permanent solution is Pan-Africanism. And the first words you heard as the podcast started was this piece, Sister Jindai is talking about Pan-Africanism, a unified socialist Africa being the only objective, which ensure that all African people and people of African descent are not only permanently free, but are also more quickly free of their exploitation and their oppression. Understanding that, you know, our primary enemy is capitalism and imperialism. We do not want to see Africans doing well in a capitalist system. We don't believe that that is even possible, because we understand that unless all of us are well, then none of us are. And that cannot happen under an economic system where the means of production, the means of mode of production is controlled by a few, and they're the ones reaping all of the benefits. So we talk about a united socialist Africa, a socialist economic structure, but a united socialist Africa. And like people hear us say Africa, we talk about home all the time. Land is primary. We believe that land is primary, and the only land that we have a right to stake claim to is our homeland of Africa. Africa being the richest the richest land in the world, with all the resources that people are scouring to try to control. We have all types of people over in Africa right now attempting to control the resources over there. But the land is ours. Once we fight, regain control of our land, we can benefit from the wealth from that land, again, because of the resources that exist on that land, right? So from that land, we get the wealth. From that wealth, we get power. And from power, we get respect. We can restore the African to her natural splendor, right? And I know we always talk about the example of China, right, Mama D, in terms of the destruction China had to go through before the perception of China or Chinese people here in the U.S. Was lowly, right? The Chinese were looked as lowly. They were the like, you know, Asian N-words, right? Mm-hmm. And did not garner any respect from anyone. China ended up closing their doors, changing, right, and had to restore themselves to a splendor. Now, regardless of where you look at a Chinese person, they're regarded as smart, they're regarded as intelligent, they're regarded as individuals with the capability or the ability to rise above these previous conditions. This is what we know is important for us, right? And we can only do that through a unified socialist Africa, a socialist Africa. Again, socialism where we provide to each according to her needs, and using the resources to provide to each according to their needs, to her needs. Those are the permanent solutions. So we understand that regardless of where we live, where any African is, when we talked about Africans in the U.S., Africans in the Caribbean, Africans in Latin America, South America, regardless of where she is on planet Earth, she'll be regarded differently because she comes from a homeland that is controlled by her people, and the resources are controlled by her people for the benefit of her people. And that's why we struggle for Pan-Africanism, Mama D. That's why we understand that it's important that we build that bridge and connection to our young people, and so that they can understand that, like, right now, the unemployment is part and parcel to this capitalist economic structure. And we do want to have those immediate solutions, but for us, it's you know, we want immediate relief, but we also want long-term permanent solutions. And that's, for us, the only permanent solution to the conditions of the Africa, Pan-Africanism.
That's beautifully said, Melvin. Thank you so much for that. And so there we go. Youth and unemployment and how they caught up and the snares of capitalism throughout the globe, our youth.
Yeah, absolutely. So here we go. All throughout 2023, Mama D, at times with the help of invited guests, our focus will be on that very theme, which is global African youth caught in the snares of capitalism.
Yes, so join us next month when we will continue discussing this year's theme with a particular focus on youth and homelessness.
Meanwhile, visit our website, panafricanrevolutionarysocialistparty.org. Email us at panafricanrsp@gmail.com. Like us on SoundCloud.com and visit us on YouTube. Leave comments on www.facebook.com/panafricansocialist.
And remember, organization is the key. Join us, the Pan-African Revolutionary Socialist Party, or some other revolutionary Pan-African socialist organization A union of African socialist states is on the horizon. And Melvin, this outro music we're going to have today takes us back. What do we say? Old school. It's a classic. It's Run DMC's Hard Times. So that's what we're going to leave our podcast this month with.